Imagine this scene. You're working overnight at the emergency department, and over the chaos and loud conversation everywhere, you hear your resident yell, "We need 4 more units of packed red cells and 6 units of fresh frozen plasma to room 5. Stat!" All the commotion centers on a 65-year-old man transferred by helicopter from a local hospital where he was initially evaluated and treated for a massive GI bleed secondary to a large duodenal ulcer. He received 8 units of packed red blood cells at the other hospital. Now his hemoglobin is very low and he is unresponsive. Besides ordering an emergent consult to GI and the packed red blood cells for transfusion, why did your resident also call for fresh frozen plasma in this case? You consider what plasma does and why it is specifically needed in this patient's emergency. And welcome to Audio Bricks. I'm Yoon Weisholtz, here to bring hematology from our bricks to your ears. After listening to today's episode, you will be able to 1. Define blood plasma and explain its importance and function. 2. Compare and contrast the contents of plasma and serum. And 3. Understand how plasma components are used in medicine. When you hear the word blood, what do you picture in your mind? Most likely, your brain conjures up an image of thick red liquid. But what would blood look like if you removed all the red cells? Believe it or not, the liquid you will have left is not red, but instead it will be a murky yellowish liquid that clears up once you remove the white cells and platelets. This lovely, clear, straw-yellow liquid portion of blood is known as plasma. Part 1. Normal blood composition. Blood is made up of 4 main components: red blood cells, or RBCs, white blood cells, WBCs, platelets, and plasma. Almost half, or about 45% of the blood volume, consists of the cellular components. Plasma is the remaining 55%. How do we visualize and separate these 4 components for studies and medical use? The trick is to centrifuge a tube of blood, because different cells in plasma have different viscosities, shapes, sizes, and weights. The contents of a tube of blood will separate into distinct layers. So when you centrifuge a tube of blood, the cells in plasma separate and form distinct layers, making it easy to visualize their relative proportions. And that's how we know the percentage composition of each layer in blood. Let's test quickly on what you've just learned. What percentage of blood is cellular components versus plasma? The answer is that about 45% of blood volume is cells, and 55% is plasma. Let's dig into the different layers a little more before we move on to just discussing plasma. After a tube of blood is centrifuged, the red blood cells are heaviest and land at the bottom of the tube. Right above the red blood cells will be a thin, buffy coat layer consisting of white blood cells and platelets. Finally, plasma is the component that is liquid and found at the top of a centrifuged tube of blood. Plasma ends up as a topmost layer because it is composed of about 92% water. It surrounds all the other cellular components to help carry them throughout the body. The high water content encourages smooth blood flow and decreases the blood's viscosity or thickness. This means that when you experience severe dehydration, you can deplete the plasma's water, causing a variety of problems. Some of these issues include hypotension and electrolyte imbalance. Now let's see if you remember the components of blood. What are the 4 main components of blood? The answer is red blood cells, white blood cells, platelets, and plasma. Part 2. Plasma composition. Despite being mostly water, blood plasma actually contains tons of important protein, molecules, and dissolved salts. Think of plasma like your favorite drink. Is it hot cocoa? Kool-Aid? Orange juice? Any of these liquid drinks are composed mostly of water, just like plasma. But within each drink, there are also the vital components that make that drink unique. For instance, hot cocoa won't be what it is without sugar, cocoa powder, a small pinch of salt, and maybe a dash of vanilla. And that's exactly the concept behind plasma. It's mainly water, but it contains vital proteins, molecules, and salts to help regulate systemic functions. So what are these key components of plasma? First, about 1% is composed of inorganic salts like sodium, potassium, calcium, carbonate, and phosphate. About 7% of plasma is composed of proteins. The three important types of proteins found in plasma are albumin, immunoglobulins, and fibrinogens. The majority of the protein portion of plasma is albumin, which allows plasma to be a key regulator of blood osmolality. Albumin concentration is the main force drawing water from the tissues into the blood. For example, if albumin is leaking into the tissue, water will follow the albumin in an effort to dilute it. This leaking of fluid into the tissue is known as edema. We will see albumin come into play in a variety of disorders throughout our study of the human body. Albumin is also an important carrier protein for calcium, hormones, and drugs. The next protein component is globulins, aka antibodies, which are the immune system's circulating proteins that help fight infections. Plasma also holds the clotting factors, the largest one being fibrinogen. And here's a quick question to help you remember what is in plasma. What three important proteins are found in plasma? Albumin, immunoglobulins, and fibrinogens. Part 3, plasma functions. With all this talk about plasma, why is plasma so important for physiology? Well, plasma helps the body maintain its blood pressure and even assists in regulating body temperature. Clinically, products prepared from plasma can also be transfused to help save lives. For example, you may have heard about fresh frozen plasma, or FFP, which can be given to patients who experience traumatic blood loss to help stop bleeding and maintain blood pressure. Who knew that plasma could do so much? Part 4. Differences between plasma and serum. Okay, so you heard about plasma and about serum, but what's the difference between these two? People often use these two terms interchangeably, but they are not the same. Both plasma and serum are routinely used for blood testing, and both contain glucose, hormones, electrolytes, and immunoglobulins. However, one key difference is that serum does not include clotting factors, and plasma has clotting factors. What other differences are there between plasma and serum? Both compose different percentage volumes of blood. We learned that plasma is about 55% of the total volume of blood. However, serum's percentage volume is less compared with plasma because it lacks clotting factors. When it comes to isolating the two types of components, it is much more time-consuming and difficult to isolate serum because you also have to separate out those pesky tiny fibrinogens. Because serum does not contain clotting factors, no anticoagulants are necessary to separate serum, but anticoagulants are needed when separating plasma from whole blood. Now, pop quiz. What is found in plasma, but not in serum? The answer is clotting factors. Part 5, medical use of plasma components. Now that we understand the composition and importance of plasma in the body, let's learn about how plasma components can be used to treat patients. When a person donates blood, that blood can be separated into plasma and plasma components to allow doctors to treat a variety of different conditions and diseases. This is like being able to take a vegetable and a protein and being able to make a variety of different dishes using different ingredient components. The three main ways that plasma is used include plasma transfusions, plasma fractionation, and plasma exchange, also called plasmapheresis. Let's take some time to learn about each of these treatments in detail. First, for plasma transfusions, plasma is separated from donated blood and frozen. This is how we get fresh frozen plasma, or FFP. When it's needed, FFP is simply thawed and given as a transfusion to the person in need. and what types of patients will need a plasma transfusion? Typically, people involved in a serious accident or who are undergoing major surgery. They may need FFP if they experience a lot of bleeding. With excess blood loss, clotting factors become depleted and need to be replaced, and this can be done by transfusing FFP in addition to giving the patient red blood cells. Next, plasma fractionation. This is where the important components of plasma are separated out so that they can be used to treat specific medical problems. Remember the three main proteins found in plasma? Those are the three that most commonly are fractionated. For instance, human albumin can help patients with ascites and for restoring blood volume in individuals who have lost a lot of blood from trauma or burns. Clotting factors separated from plasma may be used for helping treat specific diseases like hemophilia, where specific clotting factors are deficient. And lastly, immunoglobulins can help people with conditions like immune deficiency disorders. Let's see if we can apply this to a specific disease. How can giving plasma components to a patient with hemophilia help with symptoms? By providing clotting factors that are deficient in hemophilia. Finally, plasma exchange is done with a machine called a cell separator that withdraws blood, separates out the plasma, and replaces it with a substitute, usually a human albumin solution to maintain the same blood osmolality, and pump back into the patient. This procedure is used for treating rare blood conditions, including thrombotic thrombocytopenic purpura, or TTP, multiple myeloma, and Waldenstrom macroglobulinemia. How does plasma exchange help these patients? Because the plasma that is separated out contains the antibodies found in the blood. It's these antibodies that cause problems in multiple myeloma and Waldenstrom. So removing it and replacing it with an albumin solution helps filter out problematic antibodies. Now that we've thoroughly discussed plasma, let's see if we've completed our goals for this episode. First, can you define blood plasma in its main composition? Plasma is a straw-colored fluid portion of blood and makes up about 55% of blood by volume. Plasma is composed of water, proteins, and other solutes like electrolytes, nutrients, dissolved gases, and waste. The three important protein types found in plasma are albumin, immunoglobulins, and fibrinogens. Second, can you explain why plasma is physiologically important? Plasma helps the body maintain its blood pressure and even assists in regulating body temperature. Clinically, products prepared from plasma can also be transfused to help save lives. For example, fresh frozen plasma can be given to patients who experience traumatic blood loss to help stop bleeding and maintain blood pressure. Next, can you explain the key difference between plasma and serum? Serum has a composition similar to plasma, but does not include clotting factors. Because serum does not include clotting factors, its percentage volume of blood is less compared with plasma. Finally, can you name three ways that plasma components are used in medicine? Plasma transfusions is done when fresh frozen plasma is thawed and transfused to the patient in need, such as those involved in trauma or major surgery. Fresh frozen plasma also replaces depleted clotting factors. Plasma can be fractionated and its different components be used to treat specific medical disorders. For instance, human albumin can help those with ascites, clotting factors can help treat hemophilias, and immunoglobulins can help patients with immune deficiency disorders. Plasma exchange is done with a machine called a cell separator that withdraws blood, separates out the plasma, and replaces it with a substitute, then pumped back into the patient. This procedure helps treat rare blood conditions, such as multiple myeloma. Armed with our newfound knowledge about plasma, see, it's not just any liquid, let's revisit our patient from the beginning of the episode. While working the night shift at the emergency department, a 65-year-old male arrives at the hospital in hemorrhagic shock from a suspected upper GI bleed. He has already received 8 units of packed red blood cells. In addition to transfusing more red cells, why might you also consider transfusing fresh frozen plasma? In this patient's case, he has had severe blood loss and has emergent hypotension, tachycardia, and low hemoglobin. The packed red blood cells that your team transfuses will help alleviate all 3 symptoms, but why do you also transfuse fresh frozen plasma? You now know that plasma contains albumin, immunoglobulins, and clotting factors. In this patient's case, it's the clotting factors you're interested in and you need them emergently. And don't forget that providing plasma will also help intravascular volume resuscitation. With his massive GI bleeding, this patient has depleted his own clotting factors, and his prior transfusions of packed red blood cells, devoid of plasma, did not contain any clotting factors. However, they can be replenished with transfused fresh frozen plasma. You recognize and appreciate that plasma, which comprises 55% of blood by volume, is not just water volume. It's rich in clotting factors, albumin, and immunoglobulins, which are all components that this patient needs to help restore body function. After these transfusions, aggressive resuscitative efforts, and an upper GI endoscopy, which controlled the bleeding, your patient is transferred to the medical ICU and does well after a rocky first day. He has no further episodes of bleeding, and he required no more fresh frozen plasma. And that's our show for today. Make sure to like and subscribe. Your feedback continuously helps us to improve. You can get the full RxBricks experience online at www.usmle-rx.com, complete with illustrations, study questions, flashcards, and active learning. Happy studying. Until next time.